Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining me today is Desiree Washington. Des is a minority interior designer who owns Designs by Des Interiors, a family-based full-service design firm based in Mansfield. After working in the lighting design field for almost 7 years, after being an architecture grad at RPI, she gained unique experience in the design field. She founded DBDI 2 months prior to the pandemic and her first year of motherhood, which became the premise of her purpose. Des, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ashley. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you here. For our listeners who are tuning in, I have Desiree's full bio linked in the show notes, so you'll be able to get the full breadth and width and depth of her incredible experience and career. But why don't you start off by giving us an overview of who you are and what you do at DBDI?
Yeah, so I am the owner and founder and interior designer at DBDI. I am literally the Des behind the name. I went into interior design, it's been almost 5 years now. Like you mentioned in my intro, I started off in architecture. So I always had a passion since I was a kid to just really embrace a lot of like community work and give back to the community. I had a traumatic experience happen to me when I was in middle school, where we had a house fire, to the point where we lost everything. And ever since I saw the community reach out to my family, like that became like a really big part of my purpose with whatever industry I went into. And so I just became so passionate with trying to help as many people as I could. And originally I said I was going to be a construction worker, and here I am, nothing like that, nothing like that at all. But I've always been very, very creative. And so I always just like loved just like coloring and writing and things like that. And they've always been a part of my passion. And so when I started the business, it became just a good outlet for me to not only give back, but also to just explore the design industry and what I could contribute going forward and just be an example to other people who are looking to do something like this. And so I always wanted to also give back to my family as well. And so I had my family hop on board with me. It's been about 3 years now since they've been on board with me. And it's just a good thing to have to be able to also give back to my kids as well, now that I have two. Instead of one when I first started.
I love that. So I know I mentioned in your bio that you originally started in architecture. So what was that transition of like transitioning out of architecture and into interior design? If there was any kind of moment that sparked that idea or passion from there?
Yeah, so I always loved architecture, and when I was in high school, I did like community service work in the field of architecture, and I did love it, but I felt like when I was in college, I wanted to be a little bit more creative with the field. And so when I graduated college, I did try and go into architecture, but at the time, we were experiencing that weird like time in the economy where a lot of people weren't hiring, and I applied to so many places. I mean, I was coming from a school in New York and then coming back home in Massachusetts, and I just kept on applying and just didn't get anyone who wanted to work with me. And so I deviated into lighting design that year that I graduated. And when I originally wanted to do interior design, but I didn't know that's what it was called when I was in high school, because someone told me what I was trying to do was called interior architecture. And that is not the same thing at all. So it definitely was a lack of just education back then. And I feel like, you know, interior design as an industry has come so far since then as well. A lot of people are now knowing what it is. And I think social media had a lot to do with that. But back then, I'm saying back then, I mean, this was back in 2008, but still, it was a different time period. And so when I figured out exactly what interior design was, I'm like, oh, it's exactly what I wanted to do all along. So now that I had the architecture background, I could just now bring it into the design field, interior design field, and be a little bit more creative and strategic with what I was already trying to do in the beginning. So found my way back home.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you have that dual experience of architecture and interior design, because as your clients well know, that having that experience that you do, it shows that you're not just creating spaces that are pretty, like you're creating spaces that are functional because you have that architecture skill set and experience. And I think that's definitely a differentiator for you with being able to bring on all these different projects and whatnot.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it also was helpful too, being that person that, like, if they get a floor plan or whatever it is, like, I can literally be the person to help them understand it. Because it's one thing to just see a drawing and be like, oh yeah, I can kind of imagine what that looks like. But reading a drawing and understanding what it all is a whole nother thing. And so I'm just another spokesperson for my clients, because I am the one that literally can read all the things and understand what is being done. And I think it also helps me keep things at least like in-house when I'm doing designs too, because I do my own 3D modeling and things like that. And it just cuts out a lot of that miscommunication that can tend to happen between different professionals being involved and just so many players being involved. It's just good to have another person be able to understand all the things. So it
Exactly.
definitely helps.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I know you mentioned that you had found your way into the lighting design field. So, what was that next step from there that made you realize that, like, you wanted to start your own firm? And then, how did you actually get started with bringing this baby off the ground? Two babies, actually, because
Two
you did
babies, yeah.
start.
I was about to say, which baby you're referring to? Yeah, so this is back in 2018. So no, actually no, 2019. So that's when the idea of Designs by Des became to be. And I really started figuring out that I wanted to do this full time when I became a homeowner and a new mom. And then I had my own overwhelm within the home. Like, I felt like I didn't have full control over, like, just all the new toys and my whole new lifestyle, becoming a mom and also working full time. And then I had the hybrid work style back then, where I was working from home sometimes and then also going into Boston. And I just felt like so many other people were, like, in that same struggle with me. So I started sharing, just before I even started Designing My Desk, I just started sharing what I was doing on social media, because I was just like, I need some accountability here. Like, I figured out that I wanted to implement exactly what I teach all day long in my own home. And then I just gained so many people who were able to relate to that. And then I loved sharing that, and I loved doing that. And so ever since then, I was like, oh, maybe this is actually, it's like something I can build as a business. And so I started the business really literally in the heart of my living room. And it was just me being transparent and being like, this is what I teach, and here's me doing all the things. And then after a while, I started taking on just small little jobs doing, like, more home decor stuff, not necessarily interior design. And then COVID hit, right? Like, COVID literally hit March of, like, at just 3 months after I officially launched the business. And then that was when my other company restructured. So I was literally doing two full-time jobs at the same time,
Oh
which
my
is insane.
gosh.
As you can imagine. But at the same time, it was the perfect time for me to go into my business full time, because I felt like I had so many clients that were looking to do something like this. And then when COVID hit, we were home, right? So that need of, like, all right, I want to be more cozy and comfortable in my house, I want to gain control of my house, became an important purpose for a lot of people. And so my business honestly just took off a lot, like, really fast on doing, like, virtual design for so long. I had clients all over the country who were just looking for some kind of help. And then after that, once COVID started going slightly away, because it's never away, right? Once COVID started to slow down a little bit, I started figuring out that I wanted to take on different type of projects and wanted to get my hands dirty in more of, like, the rental side of things. And so I would say over time, my business definitely evolved from just being at that home decor niche to now just being a little bit bigger and being full service and full stream. But I always feel like that's a big part of why I started, was mainly because I just wanted to help other moms who were struggling like me.
Yeah, I love that. And it was the perfect storm for you because, like you said, I mean, everyone was home and they're like all of a sudden realizing, I really hate my living room wall color, like just noticing all these things because they hadn't spent that much time at home before. And so it was just the perfect opportunity for you to come in and, like you said, share everything that you were personally doing, and then which also inspired your clients and just really took off from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I didn't mention this in my bio, I don't think, but I also have a minor in human psychology. And so when I was teaching things on social media, I was also connecting it back to how our like psyche and our behavior is influenced by the things we're doing in our home. And it became a whole nother thing. 'Cause then it's like, oh, no wonder why you hate this color, because it's this color does XYZ or whatever the thing was. And so it was always a reason behind like the struggle, and always trying to figure out like this is actually a deeper personal development journey. It's not just about a pretty picture on a feed. It's more than that. Like, how can we have interiors help us be better individuals and show up better in the world? And so it became a whole big thing. And I always tell people, I'm like your bestie, but also your therapist. I'm like here to be a mirror to you, a mirror of like what you're saying and maybe what you're struggling with, but I'm not afraid to be like, you're struggling because of this, and this is what we're going to do to fix that.
Yes, and that's another differentiator too, is that it's almost like that blend of art and science behind it, where people are able to understand why they're feeling how they're feeling and how it translates into how their home is designed and how it affects their environment and everything around them.
Yes, absolutely. The
And
things you wouldn't think about design when you're like
so
on like social media, and you're just like, oh,
Right. But
it's so
then
pretty.
you
And then you
come
start
in, you're
living in it,
like,
and you're like, huh.
yeah, exactly. You come in and you're like, there's a reason why you're feeling
Yep,
that
exactly. It's funny. I remember I started off thinking that like I loved farmhouse because I loved following just that style on like HGTV and social media. And then I started literally living in that style. I'm like, man, why do I not love this? I
way.
remember getting rid of all my stuff and just being like, all right, I need to really dive deep into this and not just see it as a, like the trendy thing. Like, you know,
Exactly.
it's more than so many styles and things like that. So
That's a
I
great
literally use
point.
myself as a guinea pig in my business.
Yeah, and then now here you are balancing all of these amazing projects and having all of these really cool clients and other contractors and vendors that you've had the opportunity to work with. So as you continue to grow throughout the past 5 or so years of having your business, how do you balance having a busy business and then also having a busy family?
So it's not easy by any means, and people tell me all the time that I make it look like it's easy, and sometimes it's a compliment, and sometimes I'm like, oh man, I need to be more transparent, I guess, because I don't want to get the wrong idea out there. But I always say there is no perfect balance. Like every day it looks very different, and sometimes I'll tell myself, oh, I'm gonna do this today, and then that list goes out the window because I had to go, I don't know, pick up my son from school or whatever that case may be. And so I always try and say, like, the more flexible you can be within the schedules and the schedules of the home life and also the business life, the better. And knowing how to prioritize the things that are the most important thing has been really big for me. And it's okay to not be perfect, but taking messy action is always my motto and how I can learn. I never try and be so rigid onto things, even though I'm a type A personality and I'm like preaching to the choir here because I'm like, I need to take my own advice sometimes. But when you can actually get rid of that idea of like the perfect case scenario, the perfect day, it really helps in giving yourself grace. And I had to really give myself grace a lot and just realized you have a lot on your plate. Like, it's okay to just do three things today and then tomorrow do five things, whatever it is. And so I'm really big on just being flexible and also just holding myself accountable for the things that do need to get done, but also reaching out if I need help. And so whenever I need that help, I swallow my pride and say, I can't do it all. I'm only one person and it's okay to reach out for help. And so I have an amazing support system around me. And I know that that's a gift that a lot of people don't have and a lot of moms don't have. But anytime that you can at least admit that you need the help, that's the first step. Because then once you try and do it yourself, it's easy to burn out. And I've experienced that and it's not pretty.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And what you just shared reminds me of a quote that I once heard that I think is so powerful. And it's the idea of asking for help isn't a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength, because you know when you've hit your limit and you know that you can't do it all. And that's when you're turning to other people or other channels to help you achieve what you're looking to set out to achieve, and knowing that you're bringing in the tools and resources and whatever it might be to help you get there.
Yeah, no, that is so true.
And I know that you also, along with that, have other contractors and vendors that you partner with on various projects. And so I'd love to hear more about how you've built your network, or what I call kind of like a strategic partnership network of being able to find those people that you can refer to clients and bring into projects and trust and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, so I would joke about this because I am definitely not the best at this. I'm also like an introvert, which like people always shock when I say that because I'm always so like outgoing and things like that. But how I have found the best way to do it is that I really try and get involved as much as I can. So I mean, I am in organizations, I go to events. I always talk to people and say, hey, I see you just did this. Like, who'd you work with? Who do you love? And I reach out to that company. I meet with those people. I think it's so important to establish those relationships because if you're working with someone that is not the same work style as you, it can just make the job so much harder. And I also want to be able to support other businesses that have the same mission and ideal that I do as well. There's so many small businesses out there. But it does come down to like how passionate they also are with what they're doing too. And I always try and support as many small businesses as I can, whether it's in my area and even out beyond my area. But I would say it's definitely networking and those events have truly, truly helped build those relationships.
Yeah, and you nailed it in terms of being able to find the right people. Because that's one thing too, is that when you bring in someone to help with a client project, like you're placing a lot of trust in them and you want to ensure that they can follow through on what they're promising and what they're going to deliver to the client. So you made a really great point about working with people who are very closely aligned with you and really having that same mindset and those same goals.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and then that way it's a two-way street, right? Like if they love working with you, then they'll refer people to you and vice versa. And so it becomes like a mini family in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's so fun about business, I feel like, is that you get these people that you just become so close with and you kind of stop looking at them as like just a colleague or just a client, and you view them as a friend because you've just worked so closely together and have had so many great experiences together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always try and like tag those businesses on all my socials as well because it's not easy getting yourself out there, especially when you're a small business. And I mean, I'm very, very small. Like I don't even have a lot of employees, but I mean, I love being able to create content and being like, this person did this with me, and then they get the recognition and then they get that on their in their network as well. And so I'm very proactive with trying to do that, and that's how I also get like more networks as well. Is that if I'm tagging a painter, for example, and there's another painter that's following them, then they reach out to me and be like, "Hey, by the way, I saw your reel and whatever. Like, I would love to work with you." And then it's just like an ongoing thing. So that's been super helpful. Thank goodness for social media. That's the
My
good. That's a good
gosh.
part of social media.
Very true. Very true. There's a good and a bad
Yes,
side.
absolutely.
Yeah, I love that though. And you mentioned that with DBDI that you have really kind of transformed into focusing a lot on like home renovation projects. And so I'd love to hear where you see your company kind of growing in the next few months and even the next year and some exciting things that you might have brewing up.
Yeah, so I've done like smaller renovation projects to like kind of get my feet wet. So like don't think about like the big overhaul kind of thing. I'm not on that level yet, but in the next year I do see myself doing some smaller rental things. Like I do love working on kitchens as much as like some interior designers are like, oh, those are like the painful areas of the home a lot of times because there's just so many moving parts. But I honestly feel like the kitchen is one of the most important spaces in the home. And I love residential renovations. Like I don't do a lot of commercial work, so resi has been my jam. But I do want to do more jobs like that where I can explore just a lot more of like taking down all the cabinets and like really starting from scratch. Because a lot of the times I've been just like working with a lot of what the client has, like, changing paint and lighting and little things like that. But like not the full overhaul. So I feel like that's my next big step is being like, all right, let's take on that reno that's not the prettiest thing. And I probably will change my mind after that and be like, all right, I hate this. I'm going back.
See, but that's how you find out. You dip your toes in the water and then you're like, actually, I'm not sure
Yep,
if
exactly. I'm gonna be shooting myself in the foot with this. But
this is for me.
I have done like a bathroom where it was complete gut out. And I mean, I love bathrooms too, but I feel like the kitchen is more so where a lot of people spend their time as a family. And it's just a space that I'm really passionate about. Kitchens and bedrooms are like my two go-tos. And so I feel like those are the two next big projects I want to take on for next year.
Oh, those sound fun. Thinking about other rooms in someone's house, we do have, I'd say most of our listeners are either fully remote workers or hybrid. And so, especially with the pandemic, I noticed, so you probably saw this even more, a lot of people are putting a lot of effort and thought into their home offices. And so, from an interior design standpoint, do you have any tips or recommendations for people who are remote workers who are looking at this their space and being like, you know what, I really could change some things about this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm living this right now. I have, even though we have an office, but I do work from home most of the time. And I'm actually like in my dining room as we speak. You would never know it's my dining room. But yeah, I love to see spaces as being multifunctional and multi-purpose. And so see the office not only, it also depends what kind of work you're doing as well. I don't want to say like go in the living room and then, have toys everywhere. It'd be a playroom, and then you'd be have to be like have the door closed if you're in a meeting and whatnot. But I would say evaluate like the spaces that are in your home right now and like what kind of tasks you need to do in your home office to see how you can be flexible. Like for example, right now I'm converting my dining room literally into my home office because I'm seeing like how often is my family sitting around the dining room table for dinner. Versus where I know that I need a space to also work. And maybe my space, hey, if there's moments where we're hosting for the holidays, maybe my desk can turn into like a dining room table. So things like that, rethinking different furniture pieces that can literally serve as different functions has been super helpful. And also too, I know this might sound a little crazy, but if you have any things that are like our storage for your office space, like I have two bookcases in my living room filled with office stuff, but like obviously it's not the best case scenario. However, working with the space you currently have so that you're not feeling like I have to create another room or build a room in my home, really utilizing what you have and just trying to see what makes the most sense, I think is very helpful.
Yes. And oh my gosh, you said something that was brilliant that I would have never even thought of. And it's the idea of finding like multi-purpose furniture pieces, like finding a desk that can turn into a dining room table. Because you're right. I mean, I feel the same way about my dining room. My fiance and I have used it maybe 4 times. We've been here 3 years. And so it's like thinking about ways to make the most out of the spaces that you already have rather than trying to add on something new or go through all these extensive changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm even thinking about putting like two barn doors over my two walkways going into my dining room because I realized that hey, I have conference calls and but I also have two kids. And so like I do understand that I need to have an enclosed space. So yeah, thinking like things like that are much more affordable than like literally doing a whole addition onto your home or renovating a whole room. Like those little upgrades, they can be flexible. You can even have them open. When you're using the room for something else, like that's honestly been the easiest way that I have transitioned into just working from home. So it's been helpful. It's been good so far to see it that way. And another way to just utilize space because, like I said, we in New England, like we have these formal little rooms in our architecture of our homes. But like you said, we don't really use those dining rooms as much. And I do love a tablescape. Like you'll see on my social media. I mean, I love to set the dining room table and things like that, but it's not practical all the time. So, yeah.
Exactly. So fun. I love that. And so, for anyone who's listening to this episode who might be new to the industry or looking to get into it, what advice would you have to give to them?
Ooh. So my first advice would be, if you're looking to get into the interior design industry in particular, I would say follow like how I really pretty much got into it. Like, see how you feel about doing things in your own home, first before trying to go out and do it in someone else's home.
Yeah, that's a
And
fair
then,
point.
yeah, absolutely. And I started off to taking like a lot of master classes. Like there's so many classes out there where you can just literally learn basic stuff, like, you know, why does color matter, or like what are certain like interior design principles? Those are the things that you can literally just take online and just learn more about the industry, and also just get your feet wet a little bit, or more so of like the practicality behind like why we're doing the things we're doing versus just making them look pretty. And then just keep on playing around and having fun with it. Like I feel like when you can actually have fun with it, it doesn't feel like work anymore. For me, it doesn't feel like work at all. Like I literally just go out and I play around with things. Like people come over my house all the time, and things change all the time in my house. I literally use my house as like my palette. But yeah, doing things like that, and then building on social media, like seeing how people are responding to certain things, and you know, following those accounts that inspire you. Have fun creating those Pinterest boards and mood boards, because we do that all the time. And it's very simple to do that, and then you can play with those ideas and see like what style you love, and they're like practical things that you can start doing like just on your own time.
Absolutely. And I love the suggestion that you brought up of trying within your own home first, or trying on like a really small scale just to make sure that it's something you're actually passionate about and really see yourself kind of continuing. So that way you don't kind of go through all this time and energy and effort just to realize, you know what, this might not be the best fit for me. And I think that's really great advice for any industry or any career, really.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I feel like that's one of the things that unfortunately happens when like we're like 18 and we have to choose our careers and like spend all the money going to college, and then you realize like, oh man, I don't like this degree that I have. Like if we would
Exactly.
have like went back and just like tried to get our feet wet a little bit differently, or do internships or whatever the case may be, like I think it would definitely help cut down on just the wasted degrees that just sit that are sitting around in so many people's offices or whatever.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And so, as of the time of this recording, it's the beginning of September. What would you say are kind of like the top trends that you're seeing in interior design?
Fall decor.
Oh my gosh, yes, the best.
It's so funny. I like you literally see the switch when it happens. Like all of a sudden it's like here comes all the fall colors and like all the like fall content starts to arise. I feel like in
Oh
August.
my gosh, yes.
Yep. But I actually just shared not that long ago that like seeing the seasons throughout home decor and even interior design as not necessarily like always going for those like typical like colors. Like we always know like okay, fall is always that orange or like that brown or maroon, like 'cause those are like the things that are associated with the season. But there's other ways of also bringing in like the warm and coziness that comes with the crisp air we feel outside. Like there's ways of bringing in like all the throw pillows come out, or even thinking about like different like fabrics that you're bringing into the space, like things like that are always timeless, and that you can always keep all season round. It's not necessarily you have to do a whole overhaul
Yeah.
for fall. But I am loving that more people are embracing color. I feel like for so long we went with like the whole neutral palette. It was the safe way to go. And I have nothing against like the neutral decor or anything like that. I think that it was a trend that was just around for just so long because we saw it so much. But now I am seeing more people playing with patterns and wallpaper and really being really creative in their spaces. And I think the more creative we can be, the more that our spaces feel more like us, and it gives
Yes.
us and more character versus just following a trend and then that trend going away. And I think that when your home feels more like you, it serves you more, and you're more proud to say like, yeah, this is mine, and I'm proud that I created this within my home. And so I really
Exactly.
try and encourage that.
Oh, I love that. Just having people really embrace their uniqueness and their own individuality, and being able to reflect that within their environment and the spot where they spend most of their time, which is their home.
Yes, exactly. And that's where you're going to have the biggest impact on your behavior, because like we spend so much time at home. I mean, I know there's a lot of time you go out to work and things like that, but your home is like literally your safe haven. And so if you can't feel safe and comfortable at home, then where can you feel safe and comfortable in? And so I feel like this is where memories are started, and it has a big impact and does matter.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I love that. Des, as we get closer to the end of this episode, one of my favorite questions to ask our guests is what their favorite local businesses are to support. So, what would you say yours are?
I'm gonna call out all the people that not all the people, but the ones that I love to work closely with. So my electrician, his name is Steve Electric. I think he's in Worcester now. He's my go-to for my electrical work. I do love Link Solutions, who are the painters that I work with a lot. I know Sherwin Williams is not that small, but like they're my painter go-to people. So Sherwin, yeah, this is your shout out. And then I do a lot of closet work with my girl Trisha over at Trust and Trisha. She does a lot of my closet installs and like closet organization, things like that. And I have a whole little interior design community network that I always like to pass, not pass my clients over. That sounds awful. But if there's a style that they're looking for, that maybe I is not necessarily one that I can do. I do love to support Hello, how should I say it? Hello Interiors, I think is how you say it, is Alicia. She's Alicia Walsh, thinks her last name, but she's the one that does a lot of like more of like she's color theory just like I do as well. And man, I'm trying to think of all the ones
Too many to
there.
remember.
It's so many. I was trying to think of another one, but I better not call out all my interior designers because I'm gonna be in trouble.
I love that, but it shows how important community is to you since you have all of those people that you hold close. And like you said, if something isn't the right fit, you know someone who will be able to 100% deliver on that project.
Yes. Oh, and one more I do want to say is Wesley, because she's my planter girl. I do
Oh,
love bringing
perfect.
plants into the home. I really think bringing in nature as much as possible, especially in the fall, is really, really good for New Englanders with the winter blues. Those plants that can
Yes.
survive in the winter is really good with just like cleaning out your air, helping with your breathing quality. And also just like getting rid of those winter blues, because like I know Christmas trees are nice and all the things like that too, but plants are good all year round. And so Wes has been amazing with just like curating plants and styles. Like that's a whole nother industry, but it's a whole nother thing that really has an impact on the interior spaces as well. So
Oh, I love that. That's perfect. Des, this has been such an awesome episode, and I've really appreciated having the opportunity to have you come on the show and share everything that you're doing at DBDI. And now
thank
I'd
you.
love to give you the opportunity to share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect further.
Absolutely. So I live on Instagram and TikTok. I know people are like TikTok. But yeah, so I'm Designs by His Interiors on TikTok, and I'm Mrs. Dot Des Edge on Instagram. People are saying, where does that Des Edge come from? My maiden name is Edge. My first name, Des Edge. They get it. So creative. And then I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Facebook underneath the business name Designs by Des Interiors. And then I also live on my website at designsbydesinteriors.com. I make it very simple. If you type in Designs by Des, you'll find me everywhere. I'm on LinkedIn as well. I think I hit all the platforms. Oh, I am on Pinterest, but I'm a little bit newer to Pinterest. I know it's shocking as an interior designer. But yeah, you can also start following me there. I will be sharing a lot more fall inspo stuff on my Pinterest
Love
this coming
it.
year. So
Awesome. And I will link to all those places in the show notes that our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for coming on today's show.
thank you again for having me. This was so wholesome.
Oh, I
I'm so
love
excited.
that. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.